Please go ahead. The call is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's DSSA call on Thursday, the 18th of August. We have Rafik Damak, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Mike O'Connor, Patrick van der Vel, George Asari Saki, Andre Thompson, Jacques Latour, Olivier Crépin Leblon, Roy Ahrens, Arturo Servan, Jörg Schweiger, Richard Wilhelm, Wim de Geselle, Greg Aaron. From staff, we have Patrick Jones, Julie Headland, Bart Boswinkel, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber. I hope I haven't left anyone off the list. And apologies today from Adam Palmer, Chris Wright, Edmund Chung, Andrew De La Haye, Andres Philip, Rosella Mattioli, Don Blumenthal, Mark Costas, Mohammed El Bashir, and David Conrad. Could I please also remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, especially when you have so many people on the call. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela. Thanks, everybody, for joining today. And we're going to just do our standard thing where we take a moment to see if anybody has a change to their statement of interest that they should let us know about that, and then we'll get on to the main event. All right. I think we have Olivier, do you want to fill us in a little bit on Eric?
Thank you very much, Mikey. It's Olivier here. Actually, you probably know more than I do because apparently you've been notified that Eric will drop off the working group.
Yeah.
I understand.
Okay. Let me.
So I don't know what the process is, but I'll leave it to us to deal with this. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, in our ongoing tradition as co-chairs, we'll invent something. Anyway, I got a note from Eric Brunner-Williams that said that he's no longer a part of, he said, the ALAC. I was thinking maybe at large. But anyway, he is dropping off the DSSA. So, Gisela and Glenn, if you could sort of note that and do all the needful in terms of email lists and so on, that would be good. And so the reason he's not on the call today is because he's dropped off the working group. Okay.
Is Cheryl here, Mikey?
Pardon me?
Cheryl here,
yeah,
Mikey?
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I think it is important to note that Eric is a individual member representative for NARALO, and the representation he was bringing into DSSA was very much on behalf of that region, and it may be appropriate to see whether there was a alternative or other suitably technically qualified person who was put forward to the ALAC for recommendation into the DSSA on behalf of that region. ALAC did take a five-region approach to the population of our representatives to this work group, and it might be worthwhile to, with the ALAC meeting coming up early next week, to bounce that back to the ALAC via Olivier.
That sounds like a plan to me. Olivier, does that work for you too?
Hello, Mikey. Thank you, Olivier, for the record. Yes, it works with me. What I would therefore require is an email from the working group to advise the ALAC that Eric Brunner-Williams has left, and then I'll take it from there with the ALAC call next week. Thank you.
Okay. I'll forward the note that Eric sent to me to you, Olivier, and maybe that can serve as the notification from the working group. If you need another
okay.
one, let me know.
That'll
Thank you.
Do it.
Okay, on to threats. The continuing discussion. For those of you who haven't been on the last couple of calls, what we're doing right now is taking the work that we did in Singapore and basically just combining it and learning a little bit along the way, but not necessarily trying to discuss or analyze the work so much as just to get the pieces that people identified in Singapore or on the phone during that meeting into one pile so that we can then start looking at what we came up with. So the meeting in Singapore was remarkably productive, and so we're just trying to get it all summarized in one place. And what you see on your screen is the mind map that we've created out of those various subgroups that met in Singapore. And what you see on the left is the summary, the combination. And what you see on the right is one of the subgroups, the one that Roy was described for, is still open. And what we're doing is basically dragging things from just curious. I want to take a quick look and see what this looks like with highlight things. Yeah, so you can still see the highlighting if I move it around. Yeah, okay. So this is the part that we are pulling from, and this is the part that we're pulling to. And each week I publish a new version of this out on the wiki. So if you look up in the upper right corner of the screen in Adobe, there's a link up there if you would like a PDF copy of what's on your screen, if it's easier to follow that way. So that's where we're at. Where we left off was a conversation about the threat of botnets to the DNS, and the question is, where should we put it? Let me offer one last process thing before we dig into this, and that is, last week I felt like I kind of lost control of the call because so much was going on, and I was having a hard time doing a good job of summarizing people's comments at the same time that I was recording things on the screen, at the same time I was keeping track of the hands in Adobe. So if you have a substantive idea that you want to see on this page, try typing just a little bit of a summary of it into the chat right around the time that you're talking, so that I can just copy and paste out of the chat into this. That'll sort of take the pressure off of me to do a good job of summarizing what you're saying. So with that, botnets, if we were to look at the left side of the screen, where is a good place to put that? Any thoughts about that? Is that... Greg, go ahead.
Well, botnets are used for a variety of purposes, but the one that threatens infrastructure is DDoS.
So if we were to take... Do we have DDoS in? Yeah, there's DDoS. All right, so we'll put botnets close to DDoS.
Hi, this is Roy Arendt.
Go ahead, Roy.
Hi. Yes, it makes sense. There's an additional class of attack from botnets that we see here at Nominet often, Nominet UK, is that botnets are used in very large spam runs, and
yep.
Those spam runs result in an indirect attack, basically. And sometimes they're so substantial that we see twice the traffic as we normally see.
So maybe we need two botnets, one under the email spam one as well, right? Is that where you're headed?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And I think, this is Greg, I think that we're talking about the load aspect of email. Which is what Roy mentions. we need to be careful, though, of not describing spam as an infrastructure threat, perhaps. I mean, it's a problem. It's a type of abuse. But not all aspects of it probably are of interest to us or kind of falls under the ICANN mandate. That's all.
I agree with that. It's basically the collateral damage that results from a spam run that we see that is a threat to our infrastructure. But it's not spam at large is not a threat to the DNS, I think.
Sure, I can spell collateral. Better.
Oh, great. Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. I've got load in here. Again, I think what we want to do is just capture these thoughts, and then clearly we're going to circle back around to this and refine this a lot as we go. Greg, is that it for you? Is that an old hand or a new one?
It's an old one.
Okay. How about cache poisoning, depending on how you like to pronounce it?
I think cache poisoning is already mentioned on the direct attacks, so I think we don't need to. The two names, Kaminsky and Kasparov, those are basically classifications of a cache poisoning attack. There are various variants of those. I don't think we need to iterate over them all, but it's already listed. Yeah, that makes sense. Sorry, I'm trying to read off the screen here.
Yeah, and if it's too small, I can make it bigger.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I have a large screen in front of me.
Yeah, a large screen really pays off on these meetings. I mean, it's gigantic.
Yeah.
So it helps a lot. Okay, so that takes care of that one. How about spoofing? Where does spoofing belong in the...
Yeah, to be fair, this is Roy Aaron still. To be fair, spoofing at the moment of writing this on the on one of the boards during the Singapore meeting, spoofing is actually not a threat to the DNS. Spoofing is a trick that is being used, for instance, for cache poisoning. It's due to that DNS is largely using UDP, and UDP can easily be spoofed. With spoofed, I mean using an alternate source IP address instead of the regular one. So I'm not sure we actually should list that. I think it's a trick that people use in an attack.
Olivier, you want to join in on that, or have you got a separate point?
Thank you, Mighty Olivier, for the records. I was going to ask, actually, isn't there another type of spoofing which is used in phishing attacks, i.e. in spoofing of domain names not being the real thing? I know it's on a different level. It's not on a technical level, but maybe spoofing might be put in another category as far as threats are concerned.
And one of my thoughts when I joined the DSSA initially is if we talk about the threats to the DNS or to the domain name system, are we solely talking about, for instance, infrastructure, the protocol as such, or do we also talk about the value of domain names and how to devaluate that by using attacks or using, for instance, spoofing in a way that you just mentioned in phishing attacks? So clearly, that's also a threat, but of a different class altogether. So I'm not sure if this should be in scope. If this is in scope, maybe we should separate that from infrastructure infrastructure attacks.
I'm just
throwing this in the group.
Category to put that over here. I don't want to, at this stage of the conversation, I don't want to lose any of these. We can sort of figure out the in and out of scope conversation as we go, but for now I don't want to eliminate anything just yet. So if we were to say that that spoofing is sort of a different kind of a thing, what kind of a thing is it that we can start building a list of them over here? Just a short phrase that sort of encapsulates what we've just been talking about would be really helpful.
Yes. Let's continue. Meanwhile, I think of something to write, and then we go from there.
Okay, so I'll leave it over here for now, and then we'll come back. You know, eventually we may discover that indeed this is something we don't want to address, but that's way down the road for me in the conversation. Olivier?
Thank you, Mikey. Olivier here. Societal threat, I was going to suggest.
Ooh.
Now, that could be totally out of our scope, but
right.
At least it would be on the other side. It would be on the threat side.
Now, let's take that under advisement. Societal. Holy cow. Another word that I will misspell, I'll bet. Hey, I did.
No, that's fine.
Cool.
Perfect.
Bravo.
Oh, I'll tell you, you are under the command of a guy that can't spell his way out of a wet paper bag. So it was a wonderful moment when they invented spell check. Okay, so we'll put a question mark by this as a tentative placeholder kind of thing. That gets spoofing moved over to the side. All right. M&M or M plus M. I don't even know what that stands for. Roy, it's lovely to
yes. What I think what happened, I think that should have read Man in the Middle. Because of my writing, IT looks like a plus.
Let's take a short pause from hard work to check Roy's picture and just.
Oh, I like it.
See if we can tell what Roy's handwriting looks like here.
There we go.
And
IT.
In the middle, IT, in the.
Oh, what's going on? Okay, I get it. All right, back to work.
Oh, I love technology.
Okay, so what kind of an attack is a man in the middle? Where does it fit in our little? Now, note that we have a whole other discussion as to what hierarchy we want to use here, and that's another one that we're going to do later. But given all that, is that another one of the societal ones, sort of like spoofing?
Yeah, it could be. I think that's a good call.
Put it in there.
It's also in societal as in you basically trick someone to believe that you're the authoritative, whatever your authoritative want to be for, and basically proxy every information that you get further on. Meanwhile, you have access to all that information. That's basically a man in the middle.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Fast flux. Oh, that's an old and familiar topic.
Yeah.
Where do we want to put that one? It's probably kind of like DDoS, direct attack kind of thing. Botnets, kind of in that zone, isn't it?
Yeah, the whole idea of fast flux, of using fast flux, is to basically make it difficult for someone to find out who owns a specific domain name. You just register a name, you do some fast flux, as in you make sure, basically you erase a paper trail, or you try to erase a paper trail, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, Greg and I, at least, and maybe others on the call, were on the infamous Fast Flux working group in the GNSO.
Oh, great.
We've
had
a giant pile of knowledge about that we can bring in at the appropriate time, for sure. Okay, operational errors. That could be more in the vulnerabilities pile than an attack, if that makes sense.
Yes, it's one of these things that just happen, right? It's not an actual attack.
But it could be exploited during an attack, and thus might fall in the vulnerabilities category. All right, supporting infrastructure. You want to expand that a little bit?
Yeah, I think this was mentioned by someone else. I just wrote it on the board, and I think the whole idea was that this should be that, for instance, some organizations offer, I don't know, free infrastructure. How do you call that? When you have secondary hosting and you basically use that secondary hosting with closed wallets. And basically, in terms of vulnerabilities, you get what you pay for in terms of insurance and that kind of thing. So hardly any support. I think it was meant to be a separate class.
Because we could put it up here in this underlying structure.
Yeah.
Is that a good place for it, do you think?
Yes, yeah, I think supporting the word supporting is not really valid here. So basically, if you use infrastructure, you of course need to have proper SLAs and that kind of thing. It's a while back already, so I don't remember the conversation vividly, but it had to do with insufficient support.
Okay, so then if we put it, then I would start to think of it more as a vulnerability. That maybe that the supporting infrastructure just isn't up to the job. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, I think what I'm going to do, since threats and vulnerabilities are kind of a different thing, I think I'm going to make a new category out of that. Top level. Sort out the spaghetti on the chart later, but I think it makes it easier to understand. Operational errors. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hackers.
Well, in general, hackers form a threat to the DNS, all right?
That's... Yeah, and I would think maybe a direct threat.
Yeah.
Put that in the direct pile. Homogeneity.
This is when you, for instance, have all of your name servers have the same version of the same kind of software. You basically have a very, very small gene pool to pick from. What it means is one vulnerability in that operating system. Or in that server software, could potentially take down your entire infrastructure. So the idea is, in general, to have multiple vendors, multiple operating systems, multiple or redundant locations. So homogeneity is basically not good. It's a threat to the internet. Threat to the DNS.
Well, how about that as another vulnerability?
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay, content provisioning exposure.
I can see from the from the stuff I wrote on that board that we got more and more tired by the end of the session. I mean, it's more and more cryptic altogether. So the content provisioning exposure is so in general, when you have content provisioning, for instance, if you use Akamai or if you use UltraDNS, one of these things, you basically have a login screen, and if you leak those credentials to that login screen, you basically leak exposure to your whole system.
This is Rick Wilhelm. Same thing happens with registrar account credentials.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Not bad. that? And again, this is a vulnerability sort of thing?
Yes, a vulnerability that can be abused. I think that's a vulnerability as well.
Okay. Same kind of thing with the private keys, huh?
Yes, I think that's a straightforward vulnerability that doesn't need any explanation.
Okay.
Question
then,
from the group.
There was a question from your group that said, what's the perspective of the threat description? And I'm going to sort of segue from that one into Katrina's group, because they came up with a taxonomy on that same issue, which was that the threat depends on your point of view, or at least is related to your point of view. And they have a small diagram that I attempted to reproduce, because I think that this whole point of view thing is really useful.
And when we wrote a long time ago the DNSSEC standards, we had an accompanying document, which was basically RFC 4033. And as an exercise for the document, what we did is we looked at all possible points of attack to the DNS system. So this went from client. Sorry, this went from all the way from application to. Let's start over. All the way from the user to the application, to the operating system, to the ISP, to the authoritative service. Sorry, to the DNS system at large, and then back to the registrar, registrant, and so forth. And all of these nodes in that graph and all of these transactions between the nodes in that graph is a potential for attack. And I thought it was a very, very good exercise to show the vulnerabilities in the system. Shall I try to reproduce that graph for this exercise?
I for sure want to make sure I got the right RFC. It's 43.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let's, at a minimum, take a look at that and see if we could steal things from it. And otherwise, yeah, I think that would be...
To be fair, that RFC is basically an introduction and requirements to DNS security.
Hello? Sounds like...
Is that me? Okay, no, it's not me.
No,
we've got one call that dropped off, but we have our adroit folks from Verizon on the case, and they catch stuff like that instantly, just as they did now. Why don't we put this one in our possible taxonomies arena? One of the things that I'm starting to realize is that we're going to...
Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
The RFC that I just described is an introduction to DNSSEC, but the RFC that I actually meant to quote is RFC 3833. And that is a threat analysis to the domain name system.
That sounds like something we need to get right
away.
Since what we're doing right now.
It's thick, it's comprehensive, it is fairly elaborate, but does not include the things like value of a domain name. It's just on the underlying infrastructure. But it's a very good document.
Okay, I'm going to put one copy of that under there. I'm also going to take this and put it over here as a...
Mikey, I just put the URL into the chat room.
Oh, bless you, my son.
No worries.
Take that and put that in there, too. Terrific. This is exactly what I was hoping would happen. Smart people helping your stupid note taker. So we're going to, so having done that, having put the RFC over here under our threat so that we remember to go look, steal the good stuff from there, and also putting it under the perspectives hierarchy, have we sufficiently dispensed with this point, Roy?
Yes, we have.
Okay. We're going to...
From my point of view, that is, sorry.
No, you were there, and it's really helpful to have somebody who was in the group summarizing it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do the same with Katrina's group's taxonomy, since that goes in the same make it so I can shrink it. That's good. I'm going to put a picture down there. Sorry to mumble. I'm trying to head Cheryl off. She's, I'm sure, poised to say, Mikey, you're mumbling again. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I get that. Okay. So now we've got the same, we're still building this possible taxonomy of perspective, and we've got the perspectives in 3833, and we've also got the perspectives that came out in Katrina's group, and we can come back to this at some later point and combine them. Shrink that. Yeah, that goes away. Good. Katrina, are you on the call today?
She's on. She's working from home. But I'm here.
Okay, so she can hear, but she cannot speak. All right, so I will. I will carry on without her.
She's speechless.
She's speechless. I've been accused of doing that to people, rendering them speechless. I hope it's not that today. Okay, I think we're going to start to see what we saw in the other one was we started to see some repeats, and I think we're starting to see that here too, which is compromised credentials we talked about before, and we put it up in vulnerability. Where did we have it? We had a couple of... There's the credentials one.
Or social networking, or whatever.
Oh, social networking. Talk to me more about that.
Or social threat, somebody stealing somebody else's credential.
Ah, the phishing thing.
Like social engineering.
Ah, social engineering, yes.
So... During our session, what we did is build like the little model, the taxonomy model, and then we spend a little bit of time for each one to look at the impact or vulnerabilities between a registrant and a registrar. If in there we have a hacker, right, doing some stuff, somebody hacking the root has a bigger impact than somebody hacking a registry or a ccTLD. So for each one of the vulnerabilities that we have, there's an impact assessment we should do to figure out what's the impact at the various levels.
Yeah, and I've gone back to your the picture that you drew because I think that there may be. For me to let's see, how do we? So the points at the bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, are the vulnerabilities in the respective. So, for example, between registrant and registrar, number one, top there. And then the number one corresponding below is compromised credentials is a vulnerability between those two.
So the example here is that compromised credential at one would be somebody stealing Google account with whoever they use, and then going in the registrar, changing, and then hacking their site.
Right.
Now, compromised credential at the registrar could impact all the domains that that registrar has under control.
Yeah.
And a compromised credential within the registry, it's like everything for .ca, for example. And then at the root, well, they can change or take it down, right?
Yeah.
So just that single bullet, compromised credential is, for each one of the big buckets, as a the lower you go, the bigger the impact.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to capture that thought somehow, because that's crucially important. So let me see if I can do that.
So the bullets that we have here, 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
All of that is covered in the threats and the vulnerability that you have. I don't think we need to move them, I think.
Right. What we need to do, though, is we need to insert the taxonomy in here. So this is registrant to registrar.
So for each of the threats and the vulnerability that we've identified, we've got to figure out, okay, what's for each of the major components, what's the impact? Let's do an impact assessment. And then from there, we can do mitigation plans later on to how do we mitigate the different vulnerabilities and threats.
Wait. You're going too darn fast. Okay, so we have impacts and mitigation. Which we need to capture. Meanwhile, going back to number 3.1 was registry to DNS. Number 4.1. Sorry to jerk your eyes around the screen, folks. I promise I won't do this a whole lot. This is DNS to end user. About impacts and mitigation, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put these in our action items pile, because those are things we need to do in the future. I just don't want to lose those ideas. Rick, go ahead. Sorry.
I'd like to add to the discussion. Rick Wilhelm here. I'd like to add to the discussion. There's two papers that the SSAC published in recent years. One called SAC-040 and the other SAC-044. They deal with threats and vulnerabilities. The second one, 044, specifically relates to things about registrants and actions that they can take to protect domain name registration account. The first one is related to registrars protecting their infrastructure and such. So I threw those URLs into the chat room. Both the papers are, you know, pretty readable. They're not very technically dense, so threw those into the text room for people to read on their free time, copious free time.
So do we put that down here in the same clump along with the RFC 3833 as?
Yeah, I would suggest that it sort of parallels those.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a pile of background. Put those in there. Oop, not that way. Put these in there too. Got some places we can go to check our work and see if we missed anything. Okay, so that's out of action items. This is the right spot. Okay, so I think we've picked all of the stuff out of this group and put it on our hierarchy.
Mikey, this is Rick. I need to drop, unfortunately.
Oh, rats. Sorry to hear you're going, but thanks.
Catch up with you all later. Thanks.
Brilliant contributions. Great job.
Hi, Rick. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so, bring question mark and the Mysterians up in here. There's a reference to a band that I bet a lot of you have never heard before. Okay, let's see if we can see if somebody recognizes their sheet here. Does anybody remember being in this group that could help us? I think we concluded that it was Julie, just blanked on Julie's last name, who was the scribe, but I'm curious if anybody...
Well, that was Chris Wright's group.
Ah, okay. Anybody from that group on the call today that can help me do the summarizing? Okay, well, I'll do my usual lame job. Oops. What do we do? I think we're starting to get into the duplicate area, which is kind of nice. It means it's easier for me to do it. Poor design, hardware and software. Sounds like one of our vulnerabilities. Put it close to the homogeneity one. Okay. Natural disasters, we have another one over there, so we can put that together. Now, we might have to split this one. Do we have an organized crime? That's a threat. Maybe all of these are threats. I think maybe it's a first time for that threat, so I'll put it over in this pile. I'm going to kind of chug along, and if anybody disagrees with what I'm saying, just speak out on the call, because I'm kind of a long way. My eyes are a long way away from the hands list, and I may miss your hand if it goes up. Nation states goes in bad players. Implementation errors goes in vulnerabilities, maybe up in this zone, fairly close to it anyway. We're also going to wind up with...
There's already bugs in there.
Ah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. The implementation errors, maybe that's similar to bugs, which is also in vulnerabilities.
Oh, yeah, let's pull that up into that same zone. Got them together. These are all sort of related. Poor design, software.
Yeah.
This is all kind of a collection of, you know, there's this operational errors one that is exact duplicate. Oh, well, that's a duplicate. So I think scalability is also related as a vulnerability. Not so much that people use it as an attack, but it provides an avenue for attack if you can't scale. Rapid change sort of puzzled me. I didn't know what that one was. So, again, if anybody is from that group and can remember, we could invent something that says that the operational group at the infrastructure provided, registrar, registry, whatever, is not able to keep up, in which case it's clearly up in this same zone. Like that. Process, informal processes, again, seems like a vulnerability, something along those lines. Inadequate funding also seems like a source of vulnerabilities. One of these are almost managerial. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we do another category. Okay, how are we doing? We have Olivier's group left. We are seeing enough duplication that we may get done with this today. Which would be pretty neat. Olivier, you want to help place these? Can you see your laptop screen? Have you moved out from your dark glasses, or are you still...
As I said, I'm indoors, Mikey. Olivier here for the record. I'm in a cave. Maybe not a cave, but right. Let's have a look. Now I'm rediscovering these since I haven't seen them since the last time that we spoke. Well, in fact, the time that we wrote these, I think they're quite self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Looking at them, it would be physical threats, which I believe fits in the. There is something on the other side which speaks about this. External events, acts of war, terror, physical disasters.
Yeah. And over there, right? So if we...
We might have a duplication, because further down there's also external events, and in brackets, non-internet protocol events on the threats.
Yeah, where's... There. So maybe... We put these
on top, yeah.
All together, yeah, like that.
They'll obviously have to be refined one way or other.
Yeah, but we'll at least get them close together, and that'll put them close together in the outline so we don't forget them. Well, that's good. All right, single point of failure.
The next one is a single point of failure that is more related to the underlying... I guess it's, again, the underlying infrastructure, but it's looking at it in a different way. Rather than looking at any malicious way of doing things, we're looking here at a weakness rather than a threat.
Yeah, I think this is more in the vulnerability category. If we can think of vulnerabilities as weaknesses,
you're right.
Threats, which are, you know, things that people do, these are weaknesses that could be exploited by a threat.
Yeah. So vulnerabilities, definitely.
Yeah, and so I think we just put all this stuff kind of up in this same zone for now.
And then the next one...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the next one is targeted attacks, and against we got the NLOP service and hacking, and I'm glad to see that we've got man in the middle properly translated, and it's not M&M.
Oh, that just goes to show the difference in my ability to read handwriting. All right, so we'll put that over here, because, again, there's a lot of similarities here. Okay.
Now, alternate DNS routes was perceived as being a threat. I'm not quite sure whether that is that fits anywhere. Apart, it might be under societal threats. I'm not sure, actually. I'd be interested to
That's
hear what others
one.
Think. Because it becomes more of a political thing, doesn't it? That.
Okay, I'm going to have to make this smaller. Let me know if your eyes can't handle this.
Whoa.
Very small. Okay, too small. Sorry.
Ah, I can adjust.
Yeah. But after... Let's do sort of... These all kind of fall together.
Correct. All three of these are voluntary warfare, if you want, of some sort, that has some political tinge to it.
Put them in societal threats.
Yeah.
I think that's a good parking place for them anyway.
I'm not quite sure how the man in the middle turned up as a societal threat. I know that there's a lot of people in the middle in politics, but...
Yeah, we could move. We could put that up in the direct attacks category.
Correct, yes.
Put it up in there. Same with spoofing, actually.
No, I think we had said earlier that the spoofing was not an attack. Spoofing was a societal thing related to phishing.
Never mind.
Sorry, Mikey.
All right. Well, look at that. We've moved everything from one side of the page to the other. Aren't we good scouts? I think, given the fact that it's 5 minutes to the top of the hour, we're going to call this a job well done.
Woohoo!
And, woohoo! To quote a well-known board member. And,
I've got to keep the girl stuff happening, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll call it a day. This was a great conversation, and I feel a lot better about how it went. I really appreciate all the help in the chat for getting all these little links and ideas out. That made it a lot easier for me. And we'll pick it up in a week. Thanks, folks. That's it for me.
This is Andrew Thompson here. Well done, guys, on a job well done.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was a good session.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mama.
Thanks.
Gisela, I think we can wrap up the recording.